The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Gentlemen, let's get down to business.
Can you dig it?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Q. My name, of course, is Mark Bland, and evidently Barack Obama is a gay president, so we will discuss that. Also, you probably fit in one of two categories in the United States. Which ones? We're going to find that out, too. Also, Travis Cook is here to defend regressives nationwide.
What?
And we have letters from the listeners.
Regressives? So, what? Okay, go on.
All right, let's be honest. You're regressive. Accept it for what it's worth.
I've been called a lot of words in my life, but this is the first time I've been called a regressive.
You've never been called a regressive.
Not to my face.
I get so much hate mail from conservatives when I call them regressives. It's not funny.
Please tell me what you mean by that.
Well, a regressive is a person who wants to take the entire situation of our social system, government included, and revert it back to the 1700s as if that's going to change something. Regressing our entire society back to a time period that they feel is more quaint, more appropriate. But then again, they don't realize they didn't live in the 1700s. It was a lot rougher and a lot deadlier.
I think you're overstating it, but not by much. I would say that at least in terms of the modern political debate, in terms of some of the safety net programs, things like, you know, Social Security, Medicare, and so forth, I am in favor, and I'll go on record saying it, I am in favor of looking for a way to better streamline those programs and over time phase them out. I think that one of the biggest issues we have in terms of our debt and how that's grown over the last century is the entitlement spending.
Ladies and gentlemen, Travis Cook is here tonight on the queue.
I never fail to disappoint, do
I? He is here. He
30
is here.
Seconds in, I already trash entitlement spending. Cue the hate mail.
Okay. Well, no, I mean, entitlement spending, yes. I mean, I don't think anybody, like, but the problem is what do you define as entitlement?
Well, actually, how it's actually defined in terms of entitlement programs, it is things like Medicare,
by the
Social
way,
Security, things
before
like
you
that.
Go any further, tonight we're sponsored by Coca-Cola.
Someone finally paid you to do this?
F you, pay me.
So you just advertise someone for free?
Pretty much.
Wow.
Well, you know, I'm one of those people. I'm a giver. There's not entitlement over here. I'm just a nice individual. People like you are angry, mean individuals who drink a lot of Busch beer and like to watch Blues hockey.
I do not drink Busch beer. The other thing
Busch Light.
But no, I'm actually a Newcastle man myself.
Well, oh, so you're highfalutin. By the way, you know,
I like my dark beer.
Before we get too deep into this show, you are a soccer fan, are you not, sir?
I am a soccer
fan. I have been to the studios of America's Evil Genius, and I have seen
the palatial studios.
I have seen the soccer scarves hanging from the walls.
Yes.
Of the said studio.
There is a rather prominently displayed Real Madrid scarf.
Cha-ching.
Hanging
in
the
studio. Back.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so.
I enjoy the beautiful game.
Did you see what happened the other day with the season finale of the soccer situation?
In England?
The Premier League? Manchester City in the house, baby.
Well, first of all, I am a Manchester United fan, so the first thing I would like to say
was
I want to find whoever that referee was that did not
call the game
that
right
did not
down
blow
the middle.
The whistle for time.
Called it right
in the
down
City
the middle.
Game. I think clear stoppage time in that game was clearly over with about a minute before that goal, so that goal never should have counted, and Manchester United should have won the title. But in terms of pure excitement, that was definitely the most exciting finish of the English Premier League season in the 20-plus years.
Plus, on top of it, you had three other teams that were, like, at the cusp right behind them that were playing each other, and, like, their win-loss records would dictate other things.
Yeah, I mean, not for the championship, but for Champions League places and for the greatest thing that soccer has ever given to our world, relegation. The greatest sporting concept ever, where if you finish in the bottom three places of the league, you're out. Oh. You're gone. I love that.
Explain that to everybody out there who's watching this on the queue. And by the way, don't forget to check out thequeuenow.com. Go to the website. You can find out more information about the show, past episodes, and everything else, including stuff with Travis Cook, which is boring as hell. But
way to trash your own show, Mark.
No. The stuff with Travis is boring. Everything else is fantastic. You can watch me, then listen. Just turn the volume down on Travis. Turn it back up when I start talking. Turn it back down on Travis. Turn it back up, like, the whole show. Beautiful. But I didn't want to be rude and edit it.
I am the king of political commentary and entertainment.
Now.
And I'm good looking, too.
What is it about soccer that just engrosses you? Because I do like, you know, for everybody out there, everybody's got that one thing on TV.
Yeah.
You know the one thing on TV that you have? For you, you already watch soccer, okay? Yes. For me, it is soccer. For you, it might be fishing or monster trucks or something. Yeah. Like, there's always the one thing that no matter what you're doing, you just flip through the channels, click, and you're not finding anything you want to watch, but all of a sudden, you'll just see monster trucks. Or I have a friend, he's a sucker for Sábado Gigante on Univision.
You know,
the Saturday show that's actually live.
Familiar with that.
That's his thing. Like, Sábado Gigante. He doesn't understand what they're saying, but he's going to stop and he's going to watch every single time.
And the chicks on Sábado Gigante are gorgeous.
They are.
There are some Gigante lungs on that show.
Very much so. Yes. Very much so. Now, but what is it about soccer that engrosses you?
Well, what appealed to me, there's several things actually that appealed to me about it. But, of course, having grown up in America, and I love football and some of the American sports too, but one of the things that appealed to me about soccer was that there's none of this over-the-top specialization. Like, if you're on the field, you got to play offense, you got to play defense, you got to play the full game. You know, in American football, which I love, but American football, you can have a guy in your roster that does nothing but kick field goals.
That's a good point.
You know, you have a guy in your roster that does nothing but come in on third down and run the football.
Now,
come on.
Now, I used to say something about the regulation, or what did you say?
Relegation. Oh, it's a great concept.
Explain relegation to the fans of the
community. Okay. Basically, relegation works like this. In England, there are 20 teams in the league, right?
They are.
All right. Top team, top finishing team wins a championship.
Bayern Munich.
Well, that's Bayern Munich. Germany, actually.
But that's my team.
But anyhow, Manchester City won the championship.
They don't play in the Premier League?
No, they play in Germany.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, but I thought the Premier League just had...
No, it's only England.
Oh, I didn't know that. I had no clue. You learn something new every day.
But here's what relegation is.
Okay.
At the end of the season, the bottom three teams in the league are booted out. They go down to the next lower league, and three teams are brought up. So
really?
For a comparison...
That's beautiful.
For comparison,
that means the Rams would have got booted the last two
or three seasons. For a comparison that American sports fans would understand. Think of the typical baseball season where, you know, by the end of it, there's only a few teams in contention and there's a lot of games between, let's say, the Kansas City Royals and the Seattle Mariners that mean nothing towards the end of the season, right?
Yep.
Well, could you imagine if those teams were playing each other late in the season and the loser is going to end up going to AAA?
That wouldn't be an entertaining baseball game. That is extremely entertaining.
Yeah, that's a great concept, and they have it all over the world in soccer.
So what's the team, like, you've been watching for quite a few years, I'm sure.
Yeah, probably about... Nearly 20 years.
Okay. Even when they weren't on in the United States 20 years ago. Good call.
Yeah, well, actually, here's how I watched. They used to have, you remember, before there was Fox Sports, there was Prime Ticket or Prime Network, something like that.
And they were English. They were English. They're an English company.
And they would show one game a week, and they would edit it down to fit in 60 minutes, and they would put commercials in.
So now here's my question for you. Manchester United. Why Manchester United? Is it because they're the most popular and the most famous of all the teams?
The reason I gravitated to Manchester United was mainly because of a player named Eric Cantona.
Okay.
Eric Cantona, who despite being French, is a heck of a tough guy.
Not Alexi Lawless.
I have an Alexi Lawless story I'll tell you later.
Not Tony, whatever his name was in the goal.
Remind me to get back to the Lawless story.
Okay.
But anyway, Eric Cantona is the reason I became a Man United fan.
Cantoni.
He was a forward, he was a striker, but he had a mean streak in him.
Okay.
And he
did he play Sphinx in the movie Gone in 60 Seconds when he played soccer?
I don't know if that was him or was that Vinny Jones. I don't know. But
Vinny Jones. He liked to grab people in places.
Yeah, he did.
He's a grabber.
Eric Cantona's most famous moment was getting red carded or thrown out of a game at Crystal Palace, which is another team in the league. And as he was walking off the field, some fan was yelling at him or insulting him or whatever. Eric Cantona runs at the fan, jumps over the little partition thing, and karate kicks the fan.
Nice!
I mean, that made me a Man United fan from then on.
That's pretty impressive.
He got suspended for like 20 games or something. But I mean, and the press conference afterwards, he was totally unapologetic.
The real question is Why do you think soccer hasn't maintained credibility and caught on the way in the United States that it should have?
Well, I think it's making a lot more strides in the last 10 years than it ever has before.
Of course, I would agree with that.
The reason it didn't get popular before, in my estimation, was when you go back to the 1960s and 70s and 80s, when all of the other big sports in America really cemented their status, the one thing they all had in common was television. The National Football League, a game built for television. You know, it's all rectangular, it's easy to shoot.
Right.
And then they change the rules of the game to put commercials where they want to put it.
Of course.
Basketball has done that. Baseball has a lot of natural breaks. They tried doing that with soccer at various times in the 70s and 80s, and it would never work because there's no natural places to put commercials into the game.
Pele, Cosmos.
Yeah, the New York Cosmos, the North American Soccer League.
That's right.
They tried doing like a weekly soccer game of the week on ABC, and it never could get ad buys because the advertisers were like, where are we going to put the commercials? Now, what changed recently is that nowadays, in the last 10 years, you now have the technology where you can put the score line up in the top of the screen.
And you can bug it in
you,
the corner.
You can bug it and put the advertisements there. So that solves that problem that you had back in the 70s and 80s. Plus, you've also had 20, 30 years for all these kids to learn how to play soccer, and they're familiar with the game. So, you know, you've got Major League Soccer now. It's not, you know, drawing hundreds of thousands of people a game, but it's doing pretty good for what they're doing. And it's been around for, what, 12, 13 years now?
Yeah, they even picked up a 14-year-old kid and put him in the soccer league a few years
and
ago.
And I'll tell you this. When I lived in Columbia years ago, I used to go to the Kansas City games for Major League Soccer all the time.
Okay.
And I remember going to the very first game in the history of the league in Kansas City.
Okay.
The bunch of friends. Outside tailgating. Couldn't wait for this. And I said,
the workmen or the guys with the work hats?
No, you're thinking of
Wrecking
Columbus.
Crew?
Yeah, you're thinking of Columbus.
Oh.
They were the Kansas City Wizards at the time. It was like the worst name. But anyway.
Okay.
So we were in the tailgate, you know, parking lot tailgating, enjoying the day. And I'm like, guys, enjoy this because this league might not be around in a year. I mean, we really thought that this
thing
might.
I love the Steamers when they were in St. Louis.
That's indoor soccer. But you know, nevertheless, we really thought that, okay, Major League Soccer is great, but it may not be around for a year. And here they are 12 years later. They're still around.
And here's the kicker. All the cities that they chose for years, St. Louis was pretty much, throughout the 1980s, was the capital of soccer as far as the United States went.
Absolutely.
And it's amazing that when they brought MLS to the United States and like went for this major aspect, they didn't put a team in St. Louis, which I would have thought would have been a natural fit.
It would have been a natural fit, and there were people that tried to do it. The problem is that St. Louis...
Doesn't support its own?
I'm getting around to that.
Okay.
They could never come up with a plan for a soccer-specific stadium in this town.
Fair weather.
They were trying to get one over in Collinsville.
Fourth week in a row I've said that. Fair weather.
Will you let me finish the explanation?
Yeah, go ahead.
They were trying to set up a soccer-specific stadium in Collinsville.
Oh, I do remember.
And that didn't end up working out. Plus, the games are in the middle of the summer. You know the Cardinals aren't going to let that happen.
Of course not.
And so basically, that's why it didn't happen. Because at the time they were trying to do it here, there were tons of other cities like Philadelphia, Houston, Toronto, Vancouver.
Columbus.
Well, Columbus already had a team by that point. Yeah. But all these other teams that wanted in the league and were willing to commit to these soccer-specific stadiums. They all built their stadiums. They all got teams.
You know, and it's funny that, you know, there are certain cities that tend to like, nobody would honestly technically think that Oklahoma City would be a good place for an NBA basketball franchise, but they don't have any other pro sports.
So you just
bring one there at all, it's the biggest game in the town.
Yeah.
And therefore, there's no chance but to be successful with it.
Yeah, there's a lot less competition for the entertainment dollar. And
you know for a fact the University of Oklahoma and Oklahoma OU is not going to allow a pro team to come into the state of Oklahoma.
Well,
because that would kill their marketing dollars. Hardcore.
It would, but then again, in terms of football, they did try a USFL team there when the USFL
was around. Right, but it just wasn't as good as OU in Oklahoma State.
Like, and the other
they
thing
just had more support.
The other thing to keep in mind is that, you know, the NBA is a different game than football.
True.
Football, you would really need a much larger population base to support, you know, being able to have 60, 70,000 people come out every game. Now, certainly, University of Oklahoma has that. But are you going to get those same people to turn around and buy season tickets for the Tulsa whatever and Oklahoma Sooners? Because they're not going to give up on their Oklahoma Sooners season tickets.
Of course not.
Absolutely not.
That's my point. It's a college state. That's all there is to it. All right, let's move on. We spend a lot of time talking about soccer and sports, which is there's nothing wrong with that. We love that on the queue. Also, Give us a call if you'd like to be a part of the show. 314-714-4200. The number again is 314-714-4200. Give us a call if you'd like to talk about soccer or some of the topics we're getting ready to talk about.
The other thing, just one more thing.
Oh,
the other thing
my
I,
God!
The other thing that brought me into soccer. The other thing that brought me into the soccer.
Yes.
The chanting in the crowds. Because there's none of this.
Yeah,
there is none of this report unruly. There's none of this report. I hate the Vuvuzelas. But there's absolutely none of this report unruly fans to this text number and we'll throw them out. That doesn't
they
happen
just
in
fight
soccer.
The stands.
You can sing and chant anything you want. It's like the ECW arena on steroids.
Okay.
It's awesome.
You're a small guy. Probably get beat up a lot.
But I'm quick.
Okay.
And I'm devious.
And you're ugly, so nobody wants to hit somebody who's ugly. All right, here we go.
Pot kettle black.
The CDC has released its big, huge annual report.
The whom?
The CDC, Center for Disease Control.
Ah, yes.
The CDC's. About this nation in which we live, America. I love America. Rock a Balboa. America.
I have no idea where you're going.
How our health is here in America. A special highlight this year is a detailed look at exactly how being poor and uneducated will screw up your health. In addition to your socio-political status and fundamental sense of human dignity, don't like being disadvantaged? Don't worry, you'll die soon anyway. So let's do the rundown real quick. You ready?
I'm ready. I'm wondering where they're going with this, but
well,
go
ahead.
Well,
let's see where you fall on this too. Two
okay.
places. Two places. Americans with less education. Now, you have a college degree.
Yes.
So I wouldn't necessarily consider you an American with less education.
No, I wouldn't either.
They have higher rates of obesity among their children. Okay. All right. Probably because they don't really care what the kid eats. Let's be honest.
Go ahead. I have a thought on this, but
they breastfeed their children less.
Unless they're on the cover of Time magazine.
I find that weird, but okay. Have a significantly shorter life expectancy. That could potentially be said for anybody. Are far more likely to be obese if they're a woman, but not men. Okay, all right. You know, the girl who's working at the Hello Kitty store at the mall, she could potentially be a larger woman.
They have a Hello Kitty store at the mall?
They sure do. I'll tell you all about it off the air.
Wow.
They're more likely to smoke. Okay, I see that. I see that. Then again, I have a master's degree and I tend to smoke. So, are less likely to get tested for colorectal cancer. Potentially because they're less educated, they have less money, and the jobs that they work at either don't give them benefits or potentially the benefits aren't all that great. And to where they can get screened for things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, now you're starting to get to where what I was thinking here. I think it's going a little far to directly link this to education.
It's too literal.
I think it would be.
It's too literal towards the education aspect.
Yeah, because I think it's better to link that towards your income and how much wealth you have. I would agree with them if they said that the wealthier you are, the healthier you probably are, and the longer your life probably is.
Potentially.
And the less wealthy you are, the less of a likelihood you have for those things.
Now, so let's talk about
that
poorer.
That would make more sense to me.
Poorer Americans. Not just as less educated. Let's just talk about the poorer ones.
Okay.
Poor ones have kids that spend more time watching television.
Yeah.
That's pretty much any kid nowadays. They all watch a lot of television. Are less likely to have insurance for themselves and their families. Okay, they can't really afford it, so they probably don't have it. That makes sense. Are more likely to have kids with ADD.
I don't know. I mean, I've here's where some people are going to get mad.
I'm going to blow your mind.
Blow my mind.
I had ADD.
Well, I think by the...
And legitimately, back in the 1980s, in like 1981 when I was diagnosed, way before it was fun to do it as a doctor, like you legitimately had to go through real testing to be approved in ADD. I was actually behaviorally disordered, BD, with an asterisk because they didn't have attention deficit. Back then, ADD didn't exist.
Yeah.
So they would call you BD with an asterisk, and the asterisk stipulated attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. I turned out fine. I don't take Ritalin. I got a master's degree, which means I showed focus and the ability to get the degree. And I've done okay for myself. I'm very proud of where I've come from. Now, it was pretty severe ADD, I'll be honest with you. So it's
how it is. I think that I think that where we go with this, and this is kind of my pet peeve of childhood medicine.
Okay.
I think that at least lately, at least in the last decade or so, the whole ADHD thing has been so overblown, or ADD thing has been so overblown.
The kid likes to eat cake more than once a day, and they obviously have ADD.
It's like, you know, let's just go find something to diagnose this kid with so we can prescribe medicine for him. You know, when I think of what your typical ADD kid is like, I'm thinking, you know what? Okay, he's got a lot of different focus areas. He's paying attention to a lot of different things. That kid might make a pretty good CEO one day.
Potentially.
If you look hard enough, you could probably call, not you, you could probably call any kid ADD. What were we talking about?
No, doesn't matter. Here we go. Poor Americans are less likely to get their kids regular dental care. It's a money thing again. It's a money thing. You said the poor Americans.
Yeah.
Have higher rates of depression, are more likely to have a disability, are far more likely to have lost all their teeth, and are more likely to delay needed medical care
due to cost. All of those are associated with money.
Okay.
So basically what they said was, some Americans are brain dead. The Americans that are brain dead are less likely to be able to say their ABCs all the way through, are less likely to be able to hold a spork properly while they're feeding string noodles into their mouth out of a smack ramen cup, and things like that. Like, they took the most generalized ideas and then they just applied things that are pretty much understood. Like,
and they probably got millions of dollars of government money to do so.
Of course they did.
Nice work if you can get it.
Nice work if you can get it, and you can get it if you time. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break here on The Cube. When we come back, we're going to talk about Barack Obama and some of his recent decisions and statements that he made in regards to gay marriage. And like this news we covered, stuff like that. And that's why I brought Travis Cook in.
Would Barack Obama be considered fabulous now?
Nope. Oh. All right, we're going to be back here on The Cue right after this. Stay tuned. You're watching iWatchRadio.com. Now you can see what we're finally talking about. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Cue. Of course, my name is Mark Bland, and I'm joined today by Travis Cook, America's Evil Genius. And you can find him online doing the reports for America's Evil Genius via his Facebook page as well as YouTube.
Absolutely. Just go to www.youtube.com/America's Evil Genius, all one word, and you'll get my complete archives. Also, if I could throw one more thing in.
Sure.
In addition to my political travels, my commentary, and all the other things I do,
don't
I have
returned.
Don't call
them travels because you really don't go nowhere.
I got in a car today. I have also rejoined the professional wrestling business. I am managing professional wrestlers once again. And this Saturday night in beautiful and picturesque East Carondelet, Illinois.
You know that I'm going to have to charge you guys for this. Because, like, I understand.
I thought,
like,
I was your guest.
You are my guest. And by being my guest, you're allowed to picture America's Evil Genius.
Yeah.
You know, that's but since I don't get anything, like, they won't even return my phone calls in the professional wrestling business.
I wonder why.
Well,
but nevertheless, I will be there Saturday night, East Carondelet, Illinois. Dave Vaughn, who I'm now managing, versus Chris Hargis. Going to be a great time.
He's a whip.
Not a wimp anymore. I'm managing him now.
I'll beat his ass. Seriously, I'm not joking.
Oh boy, you better get
Davon. If you want some of Mark Bland, go YouTube the name, homie. Like, I don't play games. Like, you can YouTube, you can Google my name. Like, it's fine. Find out, figure it out if you want it. And if you want it, come get it.
Let me guess. He can't see you, right? Is that it? Yeah. Oh boy, we have bigger fish to fry than you, Mr. Bland. Back to your regularly scheduled program now.
You should let them know to give me a phone call. I do more for them than they've done for me. All right, let's move on. Here we go. According to Newsweek, Barack Obama is the country's first gay president. Would you agree with this?
Can we play It's Raining Men in the background as
we
you read that?
We should. But no,
that
don't
would,
do
that
it.
Would be awful.
Don't do it, because I don't want it on there. Newsweek's May 21st issue will feature a cover story on Obama as the country's first gay president, with an article written by longtime Obama fan and gay political writer Andrew Sullivan. The cover shows Obama adorned with a rainbow halo,
which has now been referred to as the Galo, by the way.
The Galo.
The Galo.
All right, fair enough. Of course, this is a symbolic title. Sullivan's not throwing shade in the president's direction, but in the same way Bill Clinton was called the first black president, Obama is the first gay president in the eyes of one of his staunchest gay supporters. Obama certainly gayer than his predecessors, George W. Bush and Bill Clinton, the latter of whom signed DOMA and DADT into law despite its liberal leanings.
I'm glad you said that line and not me, because if I said it, you'd have hate mail for weeks.
It's true.
Wow.
It's true. I'm not going to knock it. It's true. You know, on this show, unlike the other shows that spin things a lot, we're just going to tell you how it is. Like, that is what it is. Like, and I'm a moderate. Sometimes I pull from your side, sometimes I pull from my side. So I'm not like you. I don't just hate people to hate people, okay?
I hate people for very good reasons.
There has to be facts, there has to be information, and straightforward, that's it. Like, we don't play games over here. Dave Vaughn, we don't play games, homie. Okay. Sullivan's story is not yet available online, but he did write a short and emotional blog post.
Oh, Jesus.
Bloggers!
Hey, there's good.
Stop!
Wait. There's good blogs
no.
and there's bad blogs.
No. There's a dentist who thinks he's a political expert, so he starts a blog. Stop it. You're a dentist.
Why should they stop?
Stop.
Wait. Why should people like that not have a voice and not
no,
have to
no,
say
no. Anything? Have a voice.
I mean,
go to the bar, get drunk, tell all your buddies.
But
don't write that crap up and then try to push it to people like it's something they need to care about. Because it ain't.
Wait. And I'm going to use the air quotes here. Journalists do that all the time. Why shouldn't regular Americans do it? Why should our opinions have any less?
Haven't you learned anything from professional wrestling? Know your role and stay in your lane.
What?
Stay in your lane.
I don't want to go.
Hold on. When you walk into a locker room, let's go behind the curtain for a minute. Let's go behind the curtain for a minute, pro wrestler. Let's go behind the curtain. Let's take this to the shooting range for a moment.
Oh, you use the S word.
When you go into a locker room, you shoot your mouth off? Is it looked down upon if you shoot your mouth off? Answer the question, yes or no.
Depends on who you are in the situation, but usually it is.
In most cases, an unknown or a person who's new to a situation, they shouldn't be shooting their mouth off in a locker room. Especially if they're new to the business.
So basically what you're saying is it's sort of a matter of the time you put in and the respect.
You know your role. And you know where to stay, and you stay in your lane.
Okay,
that's my point.
So what you're saying is that it comes down to, you know, if you've earned
the
right to do it
or not. If
I need
to talk about dental hygienists, I'll talk to the dentist about dental hygienists.
Okay.
And he can explain to me things that I don't know about. Don't try to explain to me or other people who do things for a living how certain things go.
Okay, so you're saying Mr. Dental Hygienist.
And this applies to me and everyone.
Okay, so what you're saying is Mr. Dental Hygienist.
Yes.
Should not voice his political opinion.
No, he's okay to voice his political opinion.
That's all a blog is.
Okay.
So he's voicing his political opinion in a forum where others can hear it.
Right.
And you're saying he shouldn't do that because he's
No, he
not...
shouldn't be read.
Why shouldn't he be read?
Shouldn't be read.
Well, let me ask the question this way. Why should he not be read, but some journalist somewhere should be read? What gives a journalist that qualification?
Well, let's be honest.
I mean,
the reason that they went to school was to write stories to be read by the mass public. That's their physical job, is it not? No. Is that not their job? A journalist's job is to find stories and write stories for mass consumption by the general public. Would you, in a very generalized way, agree that that's
true?
In a
generalized way, yes, but I don't see how that gives them any sort of additional expertise.
Because it's their job. Just like if I walked into your building where you work during Monday through Friday, and I decided, and we're not going to get into that specifically, but I'm just saying, I go in there, and I start trying to toot my horn about the proper way to do this, that, and the other, and that's your physical job that you've been doing, everybody's going to look at me and go, shut the up, dude. It's not your job. It's not your place. Stop.
Here's the thing.
Here's the thing. You want to argue with me because we're on the show.
Yeah.
And I understand that, like bringing you on the show because I want you to disagree with me in certain cases.
Yeah.
Like, and we have a natural rapport of agree-disagree. I get that. But at a certain point, the things I'm talking about right now, you're just going to selectively say, Mark, you're just a loudmouth douche. You need to shut up because I don't agree with you. And a week from now in a bar, you're going to pull the exact same card on someone else. The same card that you're going to pull against me right now, you're going to pull on somebody else. And that's ridiculous. Know your role. And what you know to talk about, and then keep your mouth shut about other stuff that you don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Now,
that's my point.
Here's where I disagree with you.
Okay.
I don't think that just because you have a job in a certain field or just because you have a certain degree in a certain field,
okay,
particularly journalism, because I think a lot of journalism training is way overrated.
Right.
I don't think that gives you the exclusive right to be the only sort of people who comment on things. And in fact, I mean, that's a lot of what my show is.
No. To have a personal opinion about general topics and current events and things that are going on in life, that's one thing. But to, like, put yourself out there as this below, like, this is my problem that I always had with Dana Loesch. Nothing against Dana. She's a decent human being. I don't have any problems with Dana as a person. My problem with Dana is you're sitting at home. You really don't know nothing about politics.
Whoa.
You start writing a mommy blog.
She knows a lot about politics.
No, you start writing a mommy blog and people start taking you serious on it when you really don't have the credibility at all. You have no background in the job. I'm not knocking her for becoming successful. I'm saying that's not a good thing.
How is it not a good thing?
The same reason that you'll sit there and watch a soccer game and go, why does that guy get to play professional soccer? Or you'll watch a football game and be like, why did that school pick that kid up? Because he's not that good at what he does. Like, you'll pick this out glaringly and you'll sit there and do it all day long to 1,000 of them and judge them. But the minute I say it like this and say, know your role, stay in your lane, and leave everybody else out of it, you take it all personal.
Okay, now let me go with your example here.
Sure.
Dana Loesch, who, for the record, I do not know. I've never met her.
Fair enough.
I like her show. I like a lot of her work. Sure. So let's just put that out there.
Sure.
But never met her.
Dana's not a bad person.
Don't know anything personally about her.
Okay.
But in this case, she starts a blog, as you say.
Right.
She gets a following. And
sure.
You have, I guess, some sort of trouble with people taking her seriously because of that. My thought is, if she's able to write a blog on whatever topic, mommy stuff, politics, whatever it is, and people identify with that blog, they like the blog, she gets a following because of it.
Right, they call them writers and they write fiction. Yeah. If you're writing fiction and people just become a fan of yours, maybe you should put out a fiction book.
But she's writing nonfiction.
Okay.
So if people...
Agree to disagree.
If people gravitate towards it, what's wrong with that?
Agree to disagree.
The point of this is, I don't think that simply having a particular job title or having a particular degree is a requirement to make you a, quote, expert on anything.
All right, let's
I think you can be an expert without those things, and your opinion can be valuable because of it.
We agree to disagree. Agree to disagree. Okay. Let's get back into this whole situation with Barack Obama, the first gay president of the United States. Sullivan's story is not available online yet, but he did write a short emotional blog. Emotional, that's great too. In response to Obama's announcement last week. I think all the gay kids out there who now know that they have their president on their side, I think of Maurice Sendak, who just died, whose decades-long relationship was never given the respect it deserved. Shut up! He wrote kids' books, okay? He got all the respect he deserved because, just like Dana Loesch, he should be writing fiction, he did, and then people bought it. He got a big house and a nice car. So yeah, he got all the respect he deserved. Do you think he needs to be paraded around? Maybe Maurice Sendak didn't want that. You know, John Hughes was a phenomenal filmmaker. We talked about this on the show before a few months ago. John Hughes made tons of money with Breakfast Club and National Lampoon's Vacation and Home Alone and all these great movies that literally defined the 80s. He went into seclusion and died in seclusion. Why? Because he wanted to. So stop it. Okay. I think of the centuries and decades in which gay people found it impossible to believe that marriage and inclusion in their own families was possible for them. So crushed were they by the weight of social and religious pressure. Okay. No. Social pressure, I might give you. Religious pressure, you don't even go to church. Okay, that's the only place they're complaining about you is on Sundays in church. Don't let the gays get at you. Okay, that's
well,
it.
Well, jump in here with one thing? When I came on this show tonight, and
yes,
I knew
sir.
We were going to talk about the whole Obama
You're
gay marriage.
You're gay now, aren't you?
I'm what?
You've become gay.
No, I have not.
You can defend them now.
I most certainly am not. But
I'm a supporter of gays.
I will thank you for one thing.
Yes, sir.
Because I thought when I came on this show
you were
and
say
expressed
all these
my
things?
Opinion... on this topic that I thought I was going to get the hate mail.
No.
You, sir,
no.
have offended most of the gays
no.
to the point that I have nothing
no.
to worry about.
No.
I'm getting off scot-free this show.
These are observations, ladies and gentlemen. These
and
are
I
observations.
Agree with most
there
of
is nothing wrong with an observation.
I agree with most of your observations here.
I'm sorry. There's nothing wrong with an observation. Especially if it's an observation is something of fact that happened that is recounted. These are observations. This is not me just waking up going, I want to gay bash some people. No, I'm not gay bashing anyone. I like gays.
Oh, neither am I, but it'll be interpreted.
He likes gays. No, we do like people. We don't have a problem with the people.
Neither one of us are gay bashing, but I guarantee you it's going to be taken that way for both of us.
Of course it is.
For both of us.
Of course it is. It's St. Louis. But my show's got a national following, so I know that there's people in Tribeca, New York right now, in the village.
Where?
Yeah, you don't even know because you don't get out of this town ever. That's why you got slick back blonde hair that looks horrible.
If I was gonna get out of this town,
stop wearing slick black horrible blonde hair that no girl wants to touch.
If I was gonna get out of this town,
don't even put that on the screen. Just leave it off the screen.
New York.
Don't even do it.
Can you let me finish what I'm gonna say? If I was gonna get out of this town, New York would probably be the last place I would go.
Last thing, I think of all those in the plagues of years, shut out of hospital rooms, thrown out of apartments, written out of wills, treated like human garbage because they loved another human being. Now, I do agree with that. That does happen quite often. It's very prevalent. You know, my gay son, I don't love him no more. I don't want him in the will. It happens quite often. I think of their Frank Kameny. I think of the gay parents who now feel the president is behind their sacrifices and their love for their children. He's not. All he said was, if you two want to get married, fine, I don't care. I've got bigger fish to fry, and if it makes you happy, so be it. We're going to take a quick break here on the queue. When we come back, more of that good stuff. We're going to finish out the show, as well as letters to us. Oh, you love the letters. We'll be back right here on the queue right after this. Welcome back to the queue, ladies and gentlemen. You're watching this on iWatchRadio.com. Now you can finally see what we're talking about, and don't sip the Kool-Aid, period. Not directed at anyone specifically, but if you apply to that ruling, too bad. Sounds like you got your own issues to deal with. All right, we're talking about Barack Obama. First gay president of the United States, what do you think? Yes, no, maybe so.
I don't know if I would go so far as to call him the first gay president, but I think the interesting thing about all of this, the most interesting thing beyond just, whether someone's for it or against it, the most interesting thing is how this is going to affect the election. I think this was a calculated risk by Barack Obama to try and get
votes,
higher turnout.
Of course.
Yeah, votes.
Well, I mean, that's
a higher turnout.
But he is running for president. If Mitt Romney did this, there would be no knock against him because he's running for president. He does it in different ways. He tries to pander to the unions and other people. Like, he does. He just does it in different things that are not as controversial.
If Romney went for this topic,
of course, we get it. Yes, you guys are conservative. Yeah. The word conservative means regressive, pathetic, not able to like step up to the plate. You're conservative. You're kind of scared. You're the guy when everybody gets into the fight at the bar, you stand off to the side just hoping someone doesn't bump into you. You're conservative in your movements. We get it.
Okay, you have way over in some direction. I don't know where you're going.
Okay,
hold on.
Let us put you on point. Go ahead. Okay. Explain to yourself that, and I'm going to give you the definition of conservative in 30 seconds.
Let me finish. Barack Obama used this as a political opportunity.
Yep.
Understandable. Everybody's going to do that. But I think he made a miscalculation. I think he just cost himself the presidency.
And
the reason being that he's not going to gain votes in the states where he needs to gain votes. This all comes down to the Electoral College. If you go back to 2008 and take the states that he won in that election and convert them to the number of electoral votes you're going to have this year, he would have 359 electoral votes right now, right? That means that he's got an 89 electoral vote cushion. Well, with this type of decision, he has just disqualified himself from the South. He's going to lose North Carolina, Virginia, and probably Florida.
You make
all
a good
states
point.
That he won last
year. You make a good point.
Those three states.
Potentially.
Probably.
But they're heavily black populated states, and the fact that he is a popular and he is a black president, that does, like, I'm not saying that has nothing to do with conservatism this time. I'm just saying the fact that he is a black president, there are black people that are going to vote for him solely because of that. The fact that he's Barack Obama.
But in terms of what,
I mean, Atlanta, Georgia has a heavy black population, and so Georgia is going to potentially turn to Barack Obama.
Let's not go that far because you have to win the whole state.
Well, he did last time, so deal with it.
He didn't win Georgia last time.
He didn't win Georgia last time?
No, he won the three states he won in the South.
Gotta love the internet.
North Carolina, Virginia, Florida. Let me finish my point here.
Yes.
This has really upset the rural voters in those areas. So they're going to come out in equal or greater number than the urban voters.
Nope.
When that happens, you take those three states.
Unless they give away free Marlboros.
He's already lost North Carolina, I'll guarantee you that. I think he's going to lose all three. That's 57 electoral votes right there.
Yeah.
So out of that 89 cushion he's
got. He's got 40 other states he just crushed.
What?
Like it matters.
Think of the math. Think of the math.
40 states will vote for him.
No, they won't. He's not going to win one state that he didn't win last time. I'll guarantee you. So he has to retain 270 out of
Wait, you don't think he's going to retain one state that he won last time?
No, you didn't listen to what I said. I said he's not going to win any states that he did not win last time. So there's going to be no crossover, all right?
Okay, so he's not going to get
any new
ones.
What that means, exactly. So of the 359 electoral votes from last time, he's got to retain 270, right?
Potentially.
Yeah, you have to have 270 to win.
Right.
So that means there's a cushion of 89 electoral votes, right?
Well, who do you think was a better opponent for him? Mitt Romney?
It
or the last guy?
At this point. Will you listen to the math here? Okay.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. So
votes.
he's going to potentially
North Carolina, Virginia, Florida add up to 57. So you're over halfway there. All right. Now you take either Ohio or Pennsylvania. Ohio's 18. Pennsylvania's 20. You get one of those two, you're three quarters of the way there.
Yep.
Now you get two states out of Indiana with 11, Minnesota 10, Colorado 9, Iowa 6. Any two of those states, you're done. It's over. It's gone. And all of those places are places that this particular opinion will not do well in.
Okay, good.
So if he shuts himself out of the South and hurts himself in the Midwest, done. He cannot get 270 electoral votes simply out of the Northeast and the West Coast.
I do not believe that Barack Obama has hurt himself in any major way, one way or the other, by coming out and saying this. By any means.
Nice choice of words.
I don't think that he has by any means hurt himself. I think that he is just going to do what everyone expects already. That's why, while the microphone's on and he's talking to Putin, or whoever the president of Russia is, and he makes the comment offhand, wait till I get elected, I can take care of you a little bit better.
Yeah, you'll be waiting.
Because he knows. It's because he knows, man. Okay. These guys know walking into this stuff 2 to 3 weeks out where they're going to land. They really do. That's why he trumped dude last time.
He what?
Killed McCain. Killed him. Worked. Dude, it wasn't even 8 o'clock in the Central time zone when they had already announced dude had won.
But 2012 is a totally different political
environment. It wasn't even 8 o'clock. Usually they don't even announce until 10.
But
8 o'clock, they're like, dude, he's going to get 13 more states past this. He's just going to kill him.
2012 is a totally different political environment. Because let's face it, we didn't know much about Barack Obama last time.
We'll see.
Now, a lot of those people
we got to do letters for the listeners and stuff. We'll see.
He's going to go. This may be a landslide.
We'll see, ladies and gentlemen. Come November, we'll see if Travis Cook knows anything about politics.
Oh, we will see.
At all. Now, conservative. Little definition for all of you out there. This would be a conservative. Do you claim conservatism?
I claim conservatism. Much more so than I claim being a Republican.
Hold to traditional attitudes and values and cautious about change or innovation.
Yes.
Typically in politics and religion.
Yes.
Okay, so you are reserved. You don't like change. You are regressive. Traditional values.
They don't say regressive.
Traditional values are regressive values.
No. Wait. Here's where you're making a mistake. You're saying if it doesn't change, it's automatically regressive. Is keeping the status quo regressive?
Listen,
the change I believe in is change for the better. If you can show me that change is a particular type of change is good, I'm for it.
Okay.
But I'm against just change for the sake of change. Let's just do something different to do something different.
By the way, Brett Favre is auctioning off the opportunity to play football with him. So you can win him on eBay for your kids, which is kind of nice for Brett Favre, I guess. All right.
What kind of bid did the New York Jets put in?
Seeing as I actually have a fan base, unlike a lot of people that I know, I get people that actually do hit me up. I get people who actually do hit me up. Let's do some letters from the listeners. You ready for these?
Let's go for the
letters. Dear Mark, I was listening back to previous episodes, and I think you are on the mark with your take on the oil situation in the United States. But I am hitting you up today because I really need some help figuring this out. Okay. There is a lecturer in my faculty who I am devastatingly attracted to. Whom I find devastatingly attractive. I find him so attractive that I have to actively control myself in his presence. I think about him nonstop. I am a graduate student and he is a lecturer. He's probably double my age and I am 22. I took one of his classes a few semesters back but won't be in any of his classes in the future. I am sure I have made my attraction as painfully obvious as possible. Should I try to proposition him? What do you think of this sort of age gap and how do I handle the possible or probable rejection? I am aware of the imbalances of power, experience, and maturity as well as the conflicts of interest and possible repercussions that may ensue. Okay. You might not be getting slapped down as hard by me now because you do, like you put it in your message. You understand the repercussions of what you are talking about.
You realize going into it what that means and that age gap and stuff like that. I'm not a big I don't have a big problem with age gaps. Now, if you're the 55-year-old guy who's drinking Jack and Cokes or double Jack and Cokes at a bar, firing on 25-year-old women, stop it. You're probably really hairy and they don't want to see you naked anyway. Okay?
When I'm 55, I totally plan on doing that.
Of course you do. But you're already you're behind the curve with that hair anyway. Like, you are not going to get anywhere near...
I have beautiful natural
blonde hair. You are not
going
to get anywhere near the top of this game regardless of what you try. You can wear all the black you want. Thin out as best you can. Deal with it.
I look good.
Yeah.
I work out.
Troglodyte. Yeah. Did you say I look good? I work out.
I work out.
Well, wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, here's the way I would answer this question.
Go ahead.
Okay.
We got 2 minutes.
Go. She wants to know if she should proposition or not. All right. What grade does she currently have in the class?
She's a graduate student.
Okay. If you have a C or a D in the class, you should proposition.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. There you go.
You know the risk. Let's at least be pragmatic about it.
This guy has no girlfriend, hasn't had one in a long time. You should take all the stuff you can from him because he's obviously got it figured out. Figured out.
Hey, you know, I'm not the one with a bunch of babies mamas around, and I'm not the one paying a bunch of alimony and miserable. So, hey, they probably should listen to me.
Hold on, Pookie.
Pookie?
Mark, the other day I called my boyfriend during his lunch break. He started to place his order at a fast food joint and was trying to be funny. I started moaning sexily after each part of his order, like, can I get some fries? Like that, okay?
Oh, boy.
I eventually realized I was on speaker when I heard snickering in the background. I am pissed that he allowed this to go on. How should I handle this? I really just want to kick him to the curb.
You're the one that decided you were going to make erotic noises into the clown's mouth, okay? Once you make that decision,
you're an idiot.
You can't really get that mad that, you happened to be on speakerphone and I didn't know.
You're an idiot.
Why?
This guy comes on actual television type shows like this, and then he speaks out of his mouth for 50 minutes straight. If he's willing to do that for 50 minutes and be an idiot, your 30 seconds of moaning behind stuff just makes total sense to me. I get it. Don't do it next time. He makes a great point. You're an idiot for doing that.
I'm an idiot for making a great point.
You are an idiot. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to get out of here on the queue. I want to thank you guys all for watching the Queue Uncensored every single week. We are up above 6,000 downloads on these shows every single week. That is fantastic. Thank you so much.
And would it kill you to thank me for that?
There's a lot of people that come on the show and they're not all you.
Yeah, but I'm your number one.
Thank you so much for coming on my show. And thank you so much for being a part of this show. Thank you today for coming on this show.
I do what I can to help you.
All right.
I do what I can to help the general public. Oh.
Gentlemen.
All right. I want to thank iWatch Radio for hosting the show as usual. Travis Cook, you are the man. Thank you so much for being here. Pop the website. Well, the website that I need to pop is theqnow.com. Go check it out. Old episodes, new episodes. The Boiling Point. It's not a blog. It's where I put up extra content about the show. Sometimes I put my personal opinion out, but hey, 6,000 plus people love to hear my opinions every week, regardless of what you think. Deal with it. I love you guys more than anybody. You're the reason I continue to do this show, and thank you so much for listening. And also, don't forget, go to the Facebook.com/theqnow, that's T-H-E-Q-N-O-W, or you can go to theqnow.com, click on the Facebook link, take us right there. Like the page. If you like the page, you are going to be entered for the chance to win two tickets to the May 26th performance of Creed.
Oh my God, Creed!
At the St. Louis Pageant Theater. That's May 26th, Saturday, May 26th. Two tickets, potential chance to win, but you got to go like the Facebook page for the Queue Now. Ladies and gentlemen, that does it for me here on the Queue. My name is Mark Glenn. That's Travis Cook. We'll see you next time on the Queue. By no paper, cause the safe is not so safe. The piggy bank got legs and feet and can't get up and walk away. Shouting with my southern drawl, awkwardly I spray like the backside of a skunk in the stash house with the pump. It's the whip in my lap at all times and the leg from Atlanta to